Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. And I'm really, really privileged and honored to have with us tonight for the whole show, folks, Senator Melissa Agard. She is the minority leader, and we're here to talk about justice, democracy, and how to keep this great state moving forward, and what are our options. And so we have a whole lot to talk about. So welcome, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today? It's awful hot, I'm going to say. So I am grateful for air conditioning today.
Before we jump into some of the hot issues, a lot of times folks see the news and read papers and they really don't get a sense of who the human being is. And, how about taking a couple minutes and just introduce yourself to my listeners, our listeners, and, who is Melissa Agard, and how do you end up being a minority leader for, the great Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for reaching out and inviting me to be on the show. I am so glad that Civic Media Radio is here in Wisconsin for all of us to be able to engage in and have thoughtful conversations about what Wisconsinites really care about. I was born and raised here in Wisconsin. I'm a true Wisconsin girl. And I can't imagine growing up anywhere else or raising my boys in another state. Thing about Wisconsin is, we are hardworking. We roll up our sleeves. We face things front on. We acknowledge that maybe not everything is working the way that it should, but we're not afraid of the hard work that goes along with fixing things. We have a strong heritage in Wisconsin of having each other's backs, whether it was generations ago where we were helping each other build barns, or like in my neighborhood, we bake casseroles for one another when we're not feeling well, or when there's a new baby born, or when there's a new neighbor in the neighborhood, or walk each other's dogs, pick each other's kids up from school. That's what Wisconsin is about. We see each other, and we care about one another. And I grew up in Madison. I was not a kid who thought someday I'm going to work in the Capitol building. In fact, the Capitol building was a place that I went on field trips to, and it inspired my imagination, not necessarily because of the government that was going on in there, but because it's an awe-inspiring building with a lot of hustle and bustle going on in that Capitol building. And I've always enjoyed spending time in the Capitol, but really a point in my life when I started spending even more time in understanding what was happening, or maybe more importantly, what was not happening in the Capitol building, was when Scott Walker was first elected to be the governor of the state of Wisconsin, and he was pushing through his anti-labor, anti-Wisconsin value Act 10 legislation. And I was one of the many tens of thousands of people walking around the Capitol building asking, despite the fact that on the ceiling of the Capitol building are the words, "The will of the people shall be the law of the land," we had a government that wasn't listening to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And in fact, at one point during the protests, my young children held a sign in the Capitol building, and they had drawn that sign on the floor of my kitchen with their Crayola markers. And instead of hustling and bustling with each other, as little boys will do, where I would encourage them to go outside, they wrote the word solidarity and colored it in with rainbow colors, and wanted to carry it in the Capitol building. And it was a Sunday afternoon that changed my life. So my two little boys, the oldest of my four sons, were holding the sign in the Capitol building in the rotunda, and the Capitol Police approached them and told them they needed to take the sign down because the administrative rules said they couldn't hold the sign in that part of the Capitol. And my young children, at this point, they were in elementary school, had a conversation with that Capitol Police officer about the First Amendment and whether or not the First Amendment would trump an administrative rule or not. And the Capitol police officer was pretty speechless at that point in time, but you could tell that he was ordered to have that sign removed. And I had my infant, youngest son in my arms and my toddler helicoptering around me as they took me down to the Capitol police station and issued me a citation because my kids refused to take the sign down and I refused to make my kids take that sign down. And it was at that point in time that I realized that government was not working for the people of Wisconsin. And we all need to stand up, even if it makes us wildly uncomfortable, to make the world be better. And I was so proud of my kids at that time. And it was clear that I needed to step up and try to make a difference in the world. One of the things my dad taught me when I was young is that when things aren't working and you see a problem, being a complainer doesn't help. But being someone who's going to roll up their sleeves and try to make the world be better, you may make change or you may learn something about yourself and you may learn something about your community. So I ran for the assembly and I served proudly in the state assembly for 4 terms and then was elected to the state Senate after Mark Miller, one of the amazing senators who led our Democratic senators down to Illinois during Act 10, announced his retirement from the legislature. And I've served in the Senate for about 3 years. And just this last November was elected unanimously by my colleagues to be the Senate minority leader. And I like to say the Democratic leader, because we know when, at the end of the day here in Wisconsin that Democrats represent the will of the majority of the people in the state of Wisconsin. It's just that the system is rigged so that the majority of the seats in the Capitol are filled by Republicans as opposed to matching the values of ordinary Wisconsinites, where we see each other and try to make the world be a better place. So there's my circular definition of how it is that I got here and where my family's values, what my parents taught me, helped me find my way, and how listening to kids actually provides us with a lot of insight and strength in order to do our best for the state of Wisconsin.
That's a lot. Thank you for that. So the assembly, you got elected in 2013, right? Is that?
Yep.
And then you serve 4 terms, 8 years. And then you've been in the Senate since what, 2021? Just to put the time frame on here.
That's right. I ran for Senate in COVID, a COVID campaign for the Wisconsin State Senate. That was a wild ride. But I would not go back. I feel like I'm right where I need to be. It's not easy work, but I'm confident I'm right where I need to be.
Folks, you've just heard Senator Melissa Agard, our minority leader. And so let's just, you know, I think you shared some information with me about a survey and values and issues that are really important to folks in Wisconsin. I think thought that was really a great idea to start and talk about. You know, you've been around the state during the budget talks, right? And so you've talked to a lot of people around the state, not just in your district. What are the hot issues that are on people's mind? And, you know, let's just touch on some. You know, abortion access, it seems to me, is on a lot of people's mind. What are you hearing about that?
Absolutely. So we in Wisconsin, you know, crossing political divides, regardless of whether or not at the top of the ticket we're voting for Republicans or Democrats, believe in personal liberties and freedom. And abortion access falls right in line with that. The ability for women to have the autonomy to make their healthcare decisions that are best for themselves, to decide when they are going to become a parent, and how to take care of themselves and their families best. That is really a cornerstone of Wisconsin's values. And we've seen abortion access be stripped away by the federal Supreme Court. But in the state of Wisconsin, we have a law on the books, an old law on the books from 1849, when Wisconsin was 1 year old, when only men represented our great state in the legislature, and they rode horses to work. Women were not allowed to vote, and people were owned for their labor based on the color of their skin. And that law is still here in Wisconsin. And it's causing a lot of distress. Governor Evers clearly talked about that during his most recent electoral bid. And Judge Janet Protasiewicz talked about that a lot during her recent bid to become our newest Supreme Court justice. And we're hearing about that left and right in the state legislature as well. If you are a woman, if you love a woman, if you've got a daughter or a mother, this is something that is important to you. And I am so grateful for Attorney General Call, who is taking a lawsuit through the court system here in Wisconsin to clarify on whether or not abortion is in fact illegal in Wisconsin. I tend to agree with him that it is not, but we need that clarified. But that is one of the number one issues that we are hearing about here in Wisconsin in our office. That, I would say, access to childcare. In Wisconsin, that's a real economic issue, and Governor Evers just recently called for a special session in Wisconsin to refund the Child Care Counts program for Wisconsin. Business owners across my district and across the state of Wisconsin have been reaching out and saying that they are at a crisis for workers. Families are having a hard time finding childcare because there are childcare deserts left and right, and when they can find a spot to put their child, or a center that provides childcare, there's no spots left within those centers. I mean, we know that kids do well when they have access to quality childcare. So certainly this is one of the things in Wisconsin that we need to be doing more about. And, you know, this is ultimately, it's kitchen table issues. The things that people are talking about with their families.
I'm sorry to interrupt here. What is the problem on the other side of the aisle in terms of childcare funding? You know, why are it seemed to me the Republicans would be concerned about childcare as well.
Certainly you would think so. And I will say that the Republicans across Wisconsin, the ordinary good people of Wisconsin that vote for Republicans, they care about childcare. They want this funding to happen. But the unfettered power that the people in the Capitol building that hold the title of majority party have, they are refusing to hear the voices of the people of Wisconsin. And we need to address that.
Right here with Senator Melissa Agard. We'll be right back on the other side of the break for much more on state of democracy in Wisconsin, where we're going and how we can move forward. Thank you, Senator. Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are delighted to have with us tonight Senator Melissa Agard, and we're talking about, you know, the values of Wisconsin, the issues facing all of us in Wisconsin. We were talking a little bit about child care funding just before the break, Senator. And you made a really important point that your observations are that Republicans across the state, meaning right citizens, are concerned about this. So if this child care funding issue is a human issue and not a partisan issue, why is it that the leadership of the Republican Party isn't addressing it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard for me to put myself into their minds. I think ultimately, you know, there's a lot of Republicans in the Capitol building, and I'm not sure that they all even agree with each other on what the why is. Why isn't that we are funding this? But they can come up with all sorts of excuses because they have unchecked power in Wisconsin. Gerrymandered districts on top of gerrymandered districts over two different census tracts. And because of that unchecked power in Wisconsin, they don't need to make any sense in the decisions that they are making. Ultimately, even if their constituents woke up and said, you know, you're wrong about this, they're still going to be elected into their seat by being more extreme than another person who would run for office in that spot. And that's one of the reasons why it is so important that Judge Protasiewicz is now Justice Protasiewicz here in Wisconsin. The Republicans are attacking her left and right because during her campaign, she talked about how the districts in Wisconsin are broken due to gerrymandering, the legislative districts. And Robin Voss has called her out and said he wants to impeach her or take her out of her seat. And at the end of the day, Justice Protasiewicz was just talking about the facts and figures that scientists and mathematicians agree upon. This isn't a partisan issue. This is the same thing as climate change. It is real. There are decisions that are being made for partisan gain that are affecting all of us. And in order to have a level playing field, a balanced discussion where we actually have gritty conversations and solve the real problems of people in Wisconsin that they are thinking about at their kitchen tables with their families, we need to have fair district lines in Wisconsin. The fact that we are a purple state, nearly 50-50, voting for Republicans and Democrats at the top of the ticket, and we're two-thirds legislature Republicans, one-third legislature Democrats, clearly something is off balance. So, you know, they don't need to have any reason behind the decisions that they're making. They're just making those decisions because it's not what Governor Evers is talking about. And I am hopeful that within the next 18 months in Wisconsin, we're going to see some real change. And we're going to be able to actually get together and sit down at a table, just like you said, and say, the majority of the people of Wisconsin, including the majority of ordinary Wisconsinites who vote for Republicans, care about our kids and know that we need to provide childcare funding. And we're going to be able to actually be pragmatic and address these problems.
You know, just touching on this map issue and the attacks on Justice Protasiewicz. I think people forget, you know, there was a federal court decision that found the maps in Wisconsin unconstitutional before the U.S. Supreme Court decided that they were just going to punt on the whole issue. And, you know, you mentioned the science. I mean, that court was not a liberal court by anyone's imagination. There were Republican appointees. They looked at the data and they were stunned at the unfairness of the maps, right? Over and over again. And they were so stunned, they said it was unconstitutional. So I think your point about the attacks on Justice Protasiewicz is really, really important. It wasn't like she made up the notion, right, that the maps were unfair. There were federal judges that said they were unconstitutionally unfair. And, you know, we're going to find out what the court looks at and we're going to see how that case develops. And I think it is an issue that everybody really has hoped for the best on and really watch, because as you said, I want to come back to this question, you know, on child care funding. Another issue is the Medicaid expansion, right? People are dying for health care, want it expanded. There was federal money, and the Republican leadership isn't doing it. And so, is it simply they have the power to do it, or do you think there is a basis? Are they just saying, look, we'll give the tax breaks to the super, super wealthy and forget everybody else? Or, you know, what is that in the background?
Well, you know, gone is the day where the Republicans used to say, we can't afford to do that. We don't have the money, because in fact, we started this legislative cycle with nearly $7 billion with a B. I mean, that's baffling. $7 billion of surplus money, not including what's in our rainy day fund in Wisconsin. That's the good people of Wisconsin's money that needs to be reinvested in our communities. And the Republicans refused to do that at the end of last legislative session. So we continued to have that build up. And even after the budget, we have nearly $4 billion with a B dollars that need to be reinvested in the state of Wisconsin. These are not fiscally responsible decisions being made by Republicans. And clearly, it's a matter of their political ideology as opposed to what is right for our friends and neighbors all across the state of Wisconsin.
Folks, This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am here tonight with Senator Melissa Agard, our minority leader in Madison. We're talking about the values and issues of Wisconsin folks, and we're talking about how to move forward. And we will be right back after the break for much, much more. Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. And I am privileged to have Senator Melissa Agard here, the minority leader from Madison, talking about some really, really important issues and values, Wisconsin. And, you know, we have issue of gun safety, school safety, shootings. You know, I'm from Milwaukee. We had another, weekend with young people and guns, and sort of tee up that whole thing. Where are people at? You know, I noticed one thing. There's a reference that 56% of Wisconsinites are very concerned about gun violence. So how do you, as the minority leader, how do you see this really complicated issue, and where do we go from here?
Yeah, so everyone deserves to be safe at home and at work and where they recreate. And unfortunately, that is not the case. Every parent deserves to know that when they send their kids to school, that they're going to be able to learn and not be distracted because of fear. Every teacher that goes to school to take care of our kids and teach them to become the leaders of tomorrow deserves to know that when they are at work, that they're going to be able to return home to their own families. We unfortunately have so many stories in Wisconsin about people losing their lives to gun violence, whether it is due to suicide completion, has great impacts, in particular on middle-aged white men, rural men in Wisconsin, or our youngest, most innocent residents of Wisconsin, our children, some of whom have been shot while sitting on their grandparents' laps in their own house with bullets coming through the walls and taking their lives, or at playgrounds while they're playing with their siblings and their friends. It's not just about school shootings. Those mass shootings, they are terrible. And we need to address all types of gun violence in Wisconsin. But there are very simple things that we can be doing that we know that the majority of the people in Wisconsin, and in fact, across our nation, believe that we should be doing, whether it's universal background checks for gun sales or extreme risk protection orders, so that we can make sure that people are not a danger to themselves and to other people in our communities, or extending waiting periods. These are not Democrats trying to grab guns out of people's hands. These honor the Second Amendment. In fact, my family owns guns. My kids have gone through hunter safety. That's something that's very important to me. But we recently had some friends visiting from Europe. They are from Germany, and they were just dumbfounded that every day they turned on the news and it was about another shooting. More deaths due to guns, and that stores, regular stores that people go and shop at, Walmart, Cabela's, they sell guns and ammunition, and just the accessibility of it. Our society is broken, and we are not taking care of each other in the way that our heritage has defined us. So clearly, even the majority of Republicans, the vast majority of Republicans in Wisconsin, believe in personal safety and our liberty to have a healthy and safe life. And the fact that the bills that are being introduced by the Republicans in the legislature are moving us backwards as opposed to forwards. That doesn't bode well for young families who are looking for a place to live, to move to Wisconsin, knowing that they are more likely to experience gun violence here than in other communities surrounding Midwestern states.
But what are a couple of these examples that you've said of, you know, comparison bills? What have Democrats proposed and what have the Republicans proposed recently? And where is that collision?
Right. Well, you know, would you rather have a background check on all gun purchases? Even if you were to sell me a gun and you were to post it on social media, right now in Wisconsin, we could meet in a parking lot somewhere and exchange money for a firearm. And there would be no background check. And I could be a danger to myself and other people in my community through that transfer. But Democrats and Governor Evers have proposed to expand those background checks even to private gun sales, where Republicans in Wisconsin want, for example, to arm teachers and allow people in my time in the legislature, not this session, but in my time in the legislature, allow students on campuses to have access to guns in their dorm rooms and as they go to their classes. Making it so that very young children in Wisconsin can have a firearm on a mentored youth hunt with no age restrictions. You know, a very small child, and my family is hunters, I don't believe should have a firearm in their hands, even during a mentored youth hunt in the state of Wisconsin. So clearly there are very big differences in the direction that we're going. And one of the biggest influencers there is the NRA. They are a group of very powerful lobbyists at the federal level and at the state level that by their legislators. You know, one of those impacts of Citizens United, one of the hardest decisions that I think our U.S. Supreme Court made that has a direct impact on moving our democracy backwards. And because of that unchecked power, again, that Citizens United decision and the unfair lines in the state of Wisconsin, the will of the people of Wisconsin, even gun owners, isn't being represented in the Capitol building in Wisconsin.
You know, I'm a hunter too, and I've been hunting for years and years and years, and I've never seen anybody out there hunting with an AR-15, you know, assault style weapon. So what's the holdup there? You know, there have been courts around the country and federal courts of appeals that have said that it is not unconstitutional under the Second Amendment to limit and regulate AR-15s. And it certainly seems to me that the police, law enforcement, are, you know, I haven't heard that they're opposed to, right, some kind of limitations on AR-15s. I mean, certainly they don't like the fact that they may be outgunned on certain circumstances. How does that tee up in Madison right now? And is there any possibility of movement on that? Or is this another issue where the NRA's just got it completely bought and paid for?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we're not going to be able to change that until we have more fair district lines in Wisconsin, because the will of the majority party in the Capitol building does not match the will of the people of the state of Wisconsin. They are beholden to their special interest groups and their powerful allies. And unfortunately, even with Governor Evers at the helm, we can't force public hearings. We can't force bills to the floor of the legislature. Last session, and I'm grasping, so my percentage might be a little bit off here, but I believe that 2% of the bills that were introduced by Democrats in the Senate even received a public hearing. Now, I tend to know and believe that Democrats have better than 2% of good ideas in Wisconsin. In fact, even the items that we are talking about, these issues did not receive public hearings in the state of Wisconsin because the committee chairs are the Republican Party. They don't want to even have the public discourse, the conversations in the Capitol building in order for us to address assault weapons here in Wisconsin, we would need to have public hearings. So, you know, I appreciate President Biden's position. I appreciate Tammy Baldwin, Senator Baldwin's position, and Governor Evers' position. I am hopeful that we can get this across the finish line at the federal level. But certainly with more fair maps and with really gritty, thoughtful conversations, I know that we can do more to address the societal plague, the public health issue of gun violence in the state of Wisconsin.
The, you know, part of the, also another, I guess, an issue out there that gets attention and concern, the whole issues of equal protection, how does this impact, you know, race relations in the state? How does it impact gender relations within the state? And, you know, and out here in Waukesha, you know, they just had a teacher that was, you know, fired for, you know, just having, you know, a song, Rainbow Land song, you know, the whole, this, you know, the rights of the LGBTQ folks. How does that tie into this whole discussion?
It's heartbreaking. And really, these are hard conversations that, you know, in Wisconsin, we do not have equal pay. So men and women aren't being compensated, you know, there's no protections that men and women are being compensated for the same work. We have legislation being introduced by legislators in Wisconsin that would say what sports kids can play in elementary school based on the gender that they were born as opposed to the gender that they affiliate with. We have a senator in Wisconsin that used a terrible word to define a small, I believe, 13-year-old child within their community, and then has attempted to sue a media outlet in Wisconsin, I believe $150,000, and the numbers are climbing because the media outlet had the gall to report on the facts of him using that terrible slur about an LGBTQ slur to define a child in Wisconsin. Again, unchecked power, not matching what it is that people in Wisconsin care about. And thank God Tony Evers is there to make sure that these terrible bills don't move across the finish line. He can veto them. But in the legislature, the numbers are razor thin, and we need to be on high alert at all times because the Republican Party could attempt to override one of the governor's vetoes, protecting our LGBTQ kids, women, and the fact that we are not addressing the fact that Wisconsin is a state that has the most egregious racial disparities in the nation. We should not be waving flags and celebrating that. We are a state that is riddled with hate and division, as opposed to compassion, what we were born on as a community, where we saw each other for the good of who we are and realized that by lifting each other up, that we all do better.
You know, what do you see at the state level on, you know, you hear about book banning and the fact that public education, even though it got some money, the amount of money in the actual bill that was passed was tragically, you know, left public schools in a bind. How do you see that teeing up and playing out?
Well, again, we're a state that is flushed with cash. We have $4 billion of money in the coffers in Madison that belongs back in our communities. And I think that, as Governor Evers says, what's good for our kids is good for our state. Investing in childcare counts so that every child has access, every family has access to quality, comprehensive, safe childcare, investing in our public schools so that our kids learn how to be critical thinkers, and that our teachers have the resources to take those young minds and provide them with the information to grow and to learn, or to fund our university system adequately, where instead, right now in Wisconsin, we have the University of Oshkosh announcing layoffs. And it's sounding like University of Platteville and the University of Parkside are not too far behind on that. Enrollment is dropping. And, you know, investing in future generations that has typically been something that we in Wisconsin really value. But instead, we are exporting our greatest resource in the state of Wisconsin. Our kids are choosing to move to other states, and we're not able to import young families to come into the state of Wisconsin. There's a real disconnect on how it is that Wisconsin can grow and how we move forward.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are privileged and honored to have Senator Melissa Agard here with us talking about the issues we're all facing. We'll be back on the other side of the break to touch on an issue that she's been focusing on for many, many years, and also would create a real new source of income. Just come on back and find out. Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. We've had the privilege of having Senator Melissa Agard here with us talking about the issues and facing Wisconsin. Look, folks, whether you're voting or not, all of us are in this boat together. And Senator Agard said something that hit me this last segment is that we are exporting our youth. And it seems to me that any state, especially one that's in uniquely placed, you know, we got Superior on the north, like Michigan on our East Coast, we have tons of freshwater access. We're in a climate that is heating up. I mean, the Southwest, I mean, you know, this summer, you couldn't even go outside. And you would think that here we are in this beautiful state of Wisconsin attracting people. And an issue that just hits me, right? Young folks are moving to Minneapolis, moving to Minnesota, moving to Michigan, and moving to Illinois. They all have legal marijuana. You know, I was at a family wedding in Michigan, you know, and it was like the new world, right? You know, people would have a cocktail and there was a table where, you know, people were smoking recreationally. And it was, but it hit me, you know, here we are in Wisconsin. That's what people are used to. They're taxing it. Right. They're white folks in Colorado that become billionaires selling marijuana. And if you're a young kid and you get caught with a joint, it's still a crime. That's sort of a long, long, windy intro to you, because you have been at the fore of pushing this issue in the state. So tell me the history and how do we solve this, because it's crazy. The taxes that we could be having from legal marijuana for, right, jobs, for education, for healthcare, for, you know, equity, it's mind-numbing that, you know, we can't get it passed. And you know, and why the Republicans are like the leadership, not the people, but the leadership is saying no. So there it is.
So I know that the most dangerous thing about cannabis in Wisconsin is that it remains illegal, and we are literally an island of prohibition now that Minnesota has legalized cannabis, and they will have regulated dispensaries up and running in 2025. They already have the Red Cliff Nation, one of their tribal one of their tribal nations in Minnesota, selling cannabis. People in Wisconsin are getting in their cars at record rates and driving to Michigan and Illinois, taking their valuable time and their hard-earned tax dollars to purchase legal cannabis, when in Wisconsin, we also have a very successful illicit market. People would rather purchase taxed and regulated cannabis than cannabis in Wisconsin, which is also available. We know that we would be able to create good paying jobs for people in Wisconsin. We know we would be able to address racial disparities in Wisconsin. We know we would be able to lift up our farmers and our agricultural heritage in Wisconsin. We know that our main streets would flourish. And on top of that, we would have revenue coming in. So this isn't something that I'm suggesting simply to make more money. It's something that I am suggesting to honor people's personal liberties and freedom. There are so many people, go to a Quick Trip between 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, let's say 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock. People are walking in and out of there with six packs of beer every single night. Alcohol is a real problem in the state of Wisconsin. But we know that, the liberty of being able to smoke a blunt or take a dab in Wisconsin is infringing on people's abilities to be good employees, whether or infringing on your ability to take some medicinal relief from this plant that grows out of the earth, the ability to save money in our criminal justice system by addressing the harms that prohibition is causing in the state of Wisconsin. Prohibition didn't work with alcohol. And there was a time, in fact, in Wisconsin when margarine was prohibited and people used to take Oleo runs to other states to be able to purchase margarine products because we are the dairy state. That didn't work either. We're still the dairy state and you can purchase margarine in the state of Wisconsin. The alcohol industry will still be robust in our state, but we will be able to be more safe, more prosperous, and have more liberty and freedom with the legalization. And there are 23 states that have fully legalized cannabis for responsible adult usage at this point. When I first put the bill out, there were only two. The trends are moving in our direction. 7 out of 10 people in Wisconsin support full legalization for responsible adult usage with a medicinal component. It's past time, folks. It's high time we legalize cannabis in the state of Wisconsin.
So here, if all of that is so obvious and the farmers want it, the people want it, why is it that the leadership of the Republican Party won't let folks discuss it, much less pass it?
Yeah, so I'm sure to your listeners, I sound like a maybe a broken record that just goes on repeat, but my drumbeat will continue to be because of gerrymandering, because of the unchecked power of the majority party in the state of Wisconsin, we're not able to lift up the values of the people in our state, whether it's abortion access, whether it's funding our schools, protecting our environment, addressing gun violence, legalizing cannabis, expanding access to healthcare, making sure that LGBTQ folks, people are able to be with the people that they love and their rights and liberties are not being infringed because of who it is that they love, that our children are able to play, that people have access to healthy food in our schools, in our main streets and in our communities. Those are all problems that continue to be in Wisconsin because the Republican Party has this unchecked power. And we know that all of these issues are things that the majority of the people in Wisconsin support, even the majority of the Republicans support moving forward on these issues. And the way we get this done is everyone vote in every single election, no matter how small. Your school board elections, they matter. Our county board elections, they matter. Your city council, town boards, village boards, they matter. Running for office when things aren't working right. We need brave people to put their name on the ballot and to run for office.
Folks, you heard it here loud and clear, Senator Melissa Agard, and she's not a broken record, folks. Here, she was point on. We need fair maps. If we don't have fair maps, we have no chance to have even a debate, much less get the laws passed that we need to. And we need to do it soon, folks. I need my grandkids to want to stay in this state, and the senator wants her kids and grandkids to stay here too. So for a better future, get involved, jump in, join the movement for fair maps. Thank you so much. Thank you, Senator. We will be back next week.